Welcome to Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
To labor, how to live and labor with eternity in view. Yes, what is there now in your Bible? Nobody's. Before chapter 1, that title, what is the title that he wrote there? The Revelation of St. John the Divine. Abby? Okay. Now I want you to read Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. What is there?
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him,
yes,
to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass.
Amen.
And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John.
Amen. The revelation of who? So, what you are seeing, everything in the book of Revelation, who is the person trying to show us something? Jesus. Okay? Now, all of us agree, and we all know that the book of Revelation is a book of the future. Is it not so? It's actually, even from verse 1, it is clear that the book of the future, because the Bible says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to do what? To show unto his servants the things that must shortly come to pass. Amen. I want to attempt to see if I can read from another simpler translation. Hallelujah. I'm reading from the Voice Bible, and it reads this way. This is the revelation of Jesus, the Anointed, the liberating King, an account of visions and a heavenly journey. God granted this to him so he would show his followers the realities that are already breaking into the world and soon will be fulfilled. Through his heavenly messenger, he revealed to his servant John signs and insights into these mysteries. Amen. And I said, how do we labor with eternity in view? Number one, by doing the work of faith. Being able to draw a line between why I read Revelations 1:1 with what I'm saying. Is it not so? Just wait for me. And neither have you been able to see any meaning in the hymn song that we sang based on what I'm talking about now. But they are all connected. Amen. It's by having the patience of hope, and it's by laboring with the labor of love. That's how to live with eternity in view. And that's how to labor with eternity in view. Now, why I asked us to read Revelation 1:1 is this. To identify the person responsible for the book of Revelation, okay? Not because I really need anything in Revelation 1:1, but because I want to take us to Revelation chapter 22. No, chapter 21. Sorry about that. Revelation chapter 21 from verse 1 to 4. But I needed to come to verse 1 so that you see that it was Jesus who revealed these things. Okay? And more importantly, so that you can understand that how to live and labor for eternity is by doing the work of faith. Yes, I'm still saying several things together. Abby? I know. Revelation 21.
Revelation 21.
From verse 1. We'll stop at verse 5.
Okay. Verse 1.
Yes.
And I saw a new heaven and a new earth.
Yes.
For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away.
Yes.
And there was no more sea.
Yes.
And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Verse 5, the last verse. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful.
May God give increase to his word in Jesus' name. So at least there's a little connection now between the hymn that we sang and this scriptural verse, Abby. Is it not so? Amen. What does it mean to do the work of faith? What are we talking about when we say the work of faith? Well, what do we mean? The work of faith. When we say, this is how to live with eternity in view, this is how to labor with eternity in view, what do we mean by saying doing the work of faith? And what is the work of faith? The work of faith is active belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. John 6:28-29. The work of faith is active belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. You know, that sounds very simple. I believe already, really. I didn't say passive belief. I said what? Active belief. What's the difference? What's the difference between the word passive and active? Active requires an action. Passive is simply mental assent. I don't really, really need to do anything. Amen. John 6:28-29. The Bible says there, Then they say unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. What is the work of God? What is ministry? That somebody is a ministry. What is it? That he believes in Jesus, whom God has sent. Can somebody be in ministry without believing in Jesus? Huh? According to God, is it possible? Or according to the word of God, is it possible? No. But do people do it? Are people in ministry now? They don't even believe anything. They are not even born again, and they are being ministry. Okay? Now, if the work of faith is active belief in Jesus, whom God has sent, okay, or in the Lord Jesus, whom God has sent, then what is faith? When we now say, okay, we believe in him, what do we mean by that word belief? Because to believe in him simply means to have faith in him. I hope you know. And that's why we call it the work of faith. Faith, the concept of faith in itself simply means agreement and cooperation with God. Agreement and cooperation with God. Based on his word, that is based on the word of God. Based on his word. Based on his word. And acting on that word, because a person has been personally convinced of his, that is, means God, okay? Or you can say, of God's, but you have to just say of his integrity, ability, wisdom, and goodness. See, I'm not trying to tell you so many things to confuse you, no. But we needed to untie this whole thing so that it will be clear. Now, you remember I teach you to Revelations 1:1? Abby? And then we visited Revelations 21:1 to 5. Is it not so? If you believe the Lord Jesus, or if you actively believe in him, what it simply means is that you agree with God and you are ready to cooperate with him. So when he says that New Jerusalem will come from heaven to the earth, what is your stand? New Jerusalem is coming from heaven to the earth. Can you see that now? If he says that at that time there will be no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow, what is your reality? There will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. Are you following me now? And why is it that you will be able to do that, to agree with the word of God and cooperate with him based on his word, and such that you act on that word even when you have never seen a city coming down from the skies before, even when it defies all laws of gravity? It is because you have been personally convinced of God's integrity, of his ability, of his wisdom, and of his goodness. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why then did we call it work of faith? Because it is hard work to believe in Jesus Christ. That's why it's called the work of faith. It's hard work. And I'll prove it to you. I'll just give you some few things that he said, and how the entire church is resisting it because it is difficult to practice. Number one, just examples of the things that he said and why it's difficult for people to believe him. He said that resist not an evil person. Did Jesus say so or not? Or you don't know whether he said so? So that is that you don't know, go and open the place where he said so. We are not sure he said so. Okay. Let's look for the place. Matthew 5:39. Yes.
But I say unto you.
Jesus said, I say unto you.
That you resist not evil.
Don't resist evil people.
But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek.
Yes.
Turn to him the other also.
Amen. Can we read from simpler translations? In case that King James is too heavy. Matthew 5:39, yes.
NLT.
Yes.
But I say, do not resist an evil person.
Don't do what? What does it mean to resist an evil person?
Somebody stop.
To stop? It's not just to stop. It's more than stop. To oppose. To fight back. That's what it means. The word resist is to raise opposition against. Instead, when this evil person slaps your face, this right side, what do you do? Turn the left. Do you believe in Jesus? Is that how you live? Okoto dele. You have shot 9 missiles back. I'm a Christian at the sharp. Resist not an evil person. Every enemy from our father's house. Die. You don't need to resist an evil person. What's your business with them? For vengeance is mine, and I will recompense, says the Lord. Simple. I've told you before, no, not here. Somebody swindled me of some money. And of course, I knew how to catch him. I was going to have him arrested and dealt with. The Lord said, no, leave him. I said, Lord, he said, yes, I'm saying leave it. If you take action, you would have spared him from what I wanted to do to him. Good news, okay?
But now I
so,
tell you.
So I left him. And when he hears ordinary leaves moving, he runs as if somebody is pursuing him with sword. You need to resist an evil person. It's not necessary. Yes?
Do not take revenge on someone who wrongs you.
Don't take revenge on anyone who wrongs you.
If anyone slaps you on the right cheek.
If somebody slaps you on the right cheek.
Let him slap your left cheek too.
Allow him to slap the left. We are talking about how difficult it is to believe in Jesus. Because his teachings are heavy. And any man that lives based on his teachings, it will be clear. You know, I was saying earlier in the week, I said, if you live based on the teachings of Christ, you only need 1 week. Everybody around you will know that your life has changed. Just need 1 week. Just 1 week. You don't answer back. You don't fight back. You do things the way he said it should be done. It should be clear. You don't need to take vengeance on anything or on anyone. Everybody that said that my glory will not shine, they will die before their time. They will die before those. See, they are not even warfare prayer. What did I say? They are not even warfare prayer. Because you never understood that those are not your enemies. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Any human being that stands opposed to you, they are actually spirit beings making him do those things he's doing. Simple. So when you want to deal with it, you deal with those things controlling him, you have no business with him. When people leave a church, you see the pastor was cursing them because they are leaving. People left Jesus. Did he curse them? Did he threaten them? That's just one example. So I'll give you about four. Jesus said that when your brother offends you, what should you do? Go to him one-on-one and tell him what he has done wrong. If you have spoken to him and he does not hear, call 2-3 people. Call them to a meeting with him. Repeat the same things that he has done, and the fact that you have met him one-on-one, he refuses to hear. If he doesn't hear, call the whole church and report what has happened, that when offended you one-on-one, you call them, he didn't hear, you call this and this and this other brothers or sisters, he did not hear. And therefore, now that's why you have called the whole church, so that this thing can be settled. Jesus said, if he does not hear the whole church, cast him out. He's a wicked person. But when somebody offends us, what do? We call somebody else. Let's say this sister has offended me now. Call this brother. What how? What happened? It's because we are cowards. Amen. Because we are cowards. It's as simple as that. So, we find it difficult to do the things that Jesus has said. If we don't call somebody to complain to the person, we will change our style. If whenever the person comes, we used to smile and play before, what happens? We just enter a mode. Just enter one mood like that. What? Reserve mood. Just enter a mood. Just say, go on. What it means to be a Christian is to follow the lifestyle of Jesus Christ. What it means to be a Christian is that the things he has taught and how he lived, that is not only what you are teaching, that's first of all what you are living. And his examples is what you are copying for your own life. That's why we call it a walk of faith. Because to believe Jesus is very difficult for people to do. And that's why I said the walk of faith is active, what? Belief. That is belief that makes you do something. Makes you take steps. When he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. What does active faith do? I'm waiting because he has gone to prepare a place for me. And he said that when he has gone, he said he will come back. What concerns active faith? To my master is coming soon. Now, maybe it's there in your heart. But since 37 is there, you say, Jesus is coming. When is he going to come? Let me help you. A day before God is like what? And 1,000 years like a day. Now, if that is true, since that is true, okay, how many days ago did Jesus ascend to heaven? How many days ago did he ascend to heaven? From the perspective of heaven. It's just 2 days ago. And I remember Jesus saying, at Gethsemane, can you not wait with me to watch? Can you not watch with me for 1 hour? Now, if 1,000 years is like a day, How do we quantify 1 hour? Oh, yeah. Mathematicians. If 1,000 years is a day, is there 100 years? Is it, will that be true? It's 24 hours divided by 1, Abi? Or by 1,000, I don't know. What would that give us? I'm not even sure there's a formula for that calculation on this side of Jordan. Let me help you. An hour is more than a lifetime. Amen. An hour is more than what? Can you not watch with me for an hour? Even if I now refuse to come all through your lifetime, is it too long for you to wait? It's more than a lifetime. Men don't live for more than 30 minutes. If we are looking at the presence of God, because like you said, we are not dividing 1 hour by... Of course, he has shattered our mathematical formula, because we say that 24 hours is one day. Abi, he is saying, no, 1,000 years of your years is my one day. Do you understand now? So we can't use 24 hours to do it. So if he says, what you mean for 1 hour, we cannot also use 1 hour as if it's inside our 24 hours. You understand it now? It is more than a lifetime. So even if, whether he comes or calls you home, can't you wait and watch with him? Is there any higher incentive to holy living than the fact that Jesus is coming soon? And no, if I go camp or Burukuma Milo, do you understand? Is there any higher incentive? There's none now. If you are living in a constant state of readiness, then you know you will make it home. So even if somebody does not want to greet you because something happened between the two of you, what will you do? You will call him to greet him so that he does not slow you down. When you're about to pass, say, no, we are still fighting, we are finished. You don't understand. After that, you're about to fly. The hell, hold your leg. The fight didn't finish. Where are you going? And since they have no plan to go into heaven, this new Jerusalem that we just sang about, and you have plans to go, what do? You begin to remove from yourself everything that will make you enter, that will not make you to enter in. We live and labor with eternity in view by doing the work of faith. I said I want to give you 3 or 4 examples, Abi, of why it is difficult for men to believe in Jesus or to believe in the things that they have taught or the things that they have said, even when they say they are his followers. What did he say about money? He said you can't serve both money and God. Did he say so or not? Or we should open that one to you again. Did Jesus say so? That money is a God, but God is also God, and you cannot serve money and at the same time serve God. One translation says, you can't work for money and God at the same time. You must pick one. You know, each of the statements of Jesus, they are books. I didn't say teachings. I said what? Statements. The things that he says. Because they are always deeper than what they look on the surface. He said you can't love God and love money. And he said, to say you love one more. Is it true? As a person, have you found it to be so? Or you are not sure yet? How many examples have I given? So, if you want to do the work of faith, what will you believe? That I can't serve both money and God. But how do I pay my bills? He said, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Every other thing will be added unto you. I'm more, but do you notice that the words of Jesus are not enough for Christians today? So after I have said what he wants to say, they find what to go and do, and they find a principle to use to start back it. Amen. That's what he said. So you can't serve both money and God. He said, but what happens to my bills? Do you know he said, take no thought about what you eat, about what you drink, about what you wear. Not to now talk about where you live. Do you know he said that it is pagans that take thought? I don't know. Am I making sense? If what he said is true, what happens to the church? What are we? Pagans. I mean, whole meetings are held for needs to be met. Breakthrough service. Yeah, ito. Something that they said, don't take thought. Do you know he said, as I'm sending you out, when you get into a city, first of all, he didn't say rent a hotel, as ministers are wont to do now. He said, when you get into the city that I've sent you to, the house that you to, and you say, peace be unto you, and they say, peace be unto you back, that's where you should stay. Now, there's wahala. Which house are we going to go to? How are we going to know whether children of peace is there? Or whether they will receive us favorably or not? Then you ask the sender. What do? You understand you. Because for anywhere he sent you to, there's provision already for you. You say no? You want us to come to Port Harcourt? Well, you know, pastor is always very busy, but yes, you can look at his busy schedule to one more dollar. So. Messenger is vital out there. Don't you think something that there's corruption with that? As you read through Paul's missionary journeys, did he ever lodge at an inn? Did he ever? No. Did Peter ever lodge at an inn? Now, inn is like their own old-time hotels and all that. They always leave the brethren. So, when the very messenger does not believe what he sent to go and do, how do you expect that the last one should change? Do you know how much it is in some of those hotels per night? There are some 69,000, there are some 120,000, depending on the number of stars that is in front. Something star hotel. And they lodge you there 3 days, 4 days, because there's no brethren that you can stay with. Even the pastor's house, the man that invited you has not been to that hotel before. He dare not go there. But the big man of God, the big God of man that has come, they must, you know, overtreat him specially, since he can't stay in one room. Does a man need a suite? Because he wants to preach. Unless you just need a bed, a table and a chair. That's all. You don't need TV. But when men do not live with eternity in view, when all that they are living for is for this present world, those things become requirements. Those things become important. Amen. Who traveled with me to Abeokuta the last time that we went? Where did we sleep? Speak up. Oh my God, it was terrible. It was so hard. On the pavement, that's where we slept. Because those students don't have... And will it be righteousness that while they are sleeping, we are sleeping on beds? Say, no, you are talking like this because you just started. No, I didn't just start. I've been working with God and I've been involved in ministry for at least, if it's not up to 20 years, at least 18 years. So I didn't just start. And it's not that it's because God has not confirmed my ministry. No. Paul kept saying, after I was already an old man, he kept saying that he's in danger of robbers. That many times when they go on mission like that, they don't have enough clothes. They don't have enough food. That often they are driven into fasting because it has been 4 days that they ate. So what it means. And they are already 60 something. And they are in the class of men Satan could not catch. I'd rather join that club than join the club of their fire up and that they are dashing themselves jet and thinking that they will become anything when we get there. They won't become anything. I'm the one that is telling you because I know they won't. It's all I need to do is just calculate for you what this man has spent as a servant and what he has remitted home. And I ask you, do crowds enter heaven? Do we enter heaven in the crowd? Today, they say, wait. We have to sort you out how? One by one. And as I told you yesterday, Jesus is not into crowd ministry. He has no interest in those things. He's not. So we are the biggest growing church in Lagos. This is your biggest growing. How many of them are actually having their names written in the book of life? That's the matter. And if their names are written in, okay, let them begin to come in one by one. Even mommy that back baby cannot come in back in. No. Oh, my lad is off. Amen. Doing the work of faith. Active belief in the teachings and lifestyle of Jesus Christ. Therefore, what does it really mean to believe in Jesus? That He alone is the way, the truth, and the life. And that nobody can ever come to God except through Him. That's what it means. And that must start with you, knowing that is the whole truth for you. Okay? Is the only way for you, and it's the only life that you are expected to live and to follow. Not just to preach it, but first of all to do what? To live it according to Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, that said, for Ezra had proposed or had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and then to teach precepts to Israel. We don't preach before we practice. We practice first before we preach. But that He alone is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what it means to believe in Jesus. That only Him. It is to agree, accept, and practice His lifestyle and His teachings. That's what it means to believe in Him. So, it's possible that somebody says, I'm a Christian, or I believe in Him, or we are something Christian church. That doesn't make them Christian. Whoever does not practice the teachings of Jesus Christ is not a Christian. What did I say? You didn't hear me well. I should repeat it. Because it suddenly sounds strange. Whoever does not practice the teachings and does not emulate the lifestyle of Jesus Christ, that person is not what to, is not a Christian. Jesus, speaking in the book of Mark, He said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and you are not doing the things that I'm saying? Why will you call Him your Lord when the things I tell you to do, that's not what you're doing? Did He not say in Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23, that not everyone that says Lord, Lord will enter into my kingdom, but only those who do the will of my Father in heaven? Sir, on that day, many will say, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We casted out devils in your name. We did many wonderful works in your name. He said, and I will say to them, I never knew you. Sir, is he lying? Why will he say he never knew them? But he never knew them. He always knows them as hypocrites. Amen? He always knows them as religious people. He never knew them as his own. John chapter 10 says, I know my sheep. And my sheep does what? They know me. My sheep knows my voice. They want to know my voice means obeys my voice. So that's why when I stand up and I go out, what happens to my sheep? They stand up, they follow me. Amen. Read for me John 12:26. Anyone that wants to become my disciple
must follow me.
He must follow me.
Because my servants must be where I am.
Because whoever says he's following me, he must be where I am on every matter.
And the Father will honor
in every view
anyone who serves
me. Therefore, it is those who serve me in such a way that my Father will honor. Amen. They know. No, in our own church, it is our doctrine. Or it was doctrine that died for you, or Jesus. No. If you do not obey his teachings, if you do not follow his lifestyle, you're not a Christian. It's simple. It's not difficult to understand. But then they say that, you know, brother, just say it like that, just like that. Hey, boy, that's the way it is. There's no need to have the Bible commentary at the back of that statement, because that's the truth. So, what does it mean to believe in Jesus? It means that you must believe and you must set your hopes on the following. Number one, the pre-existence of God the Word. That in the beginning was the Word. And that Word was with God. And that Word is God. You must believe and set your hopes on the following. Number one, the pre-existence of God the Word. That He had always been. He's not a prophet. He's not what? That, you know, so now, he's here, yeah, Muhammad, are trying to just proposition. No, 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 there's nothing like that. He made him. Amen. Colossians 1:16. Please read it for me, King James. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power. They are made by him and for him. That's what you must believe. So if everything was made by him and for him, it means that we spend a lot of time wasting the blood of Jesus. Because there's one demon somewhere. Or may his name be powerful in our mouth again. For God, whom you do not fear, Satan can't fear your mouth. You understand? Okay. Every monitoring spirit. You want to obey me money. Something will be monitoring you. You that walk with the Holy Spirit. Something was wrong, go. Every monitoring spirit. Do they exist? Yes, those things exist. But they exist in the realm of sin and darkness. Where do they exist? They don't exist in the realm where those who have been saved by grace dwells. For they dwell in the very presence of God. It's very few people that will be bold enough to beat your children in your presence when they know you have power over them. You didn't hear what I'm saying? Somebody wants to beat your child. You have a child. Somebody wants to beat that child. The person must be more powerful than you, but I want to beat that child anyhow in your presence. It's not possible now. You must be able to beat me too. If you can't beat me, you won't hear that. So who will beat God? No. Majority of us in the church, we do not believe in Jesus. We do not believe in Him. We must believe and set our hopes on the prophecies that announced His coming and their fulfillment. You see, because what you want to set your hopes upon, you need to be sure more than 100% that it's true. Is it not true? You want to be sure that it won't fail you one day or the other. You want to be sure that when you call His name, that He will answer. You want to be sure. You have to believe in His virgin birth, in His life, in His passion, in His death, in His resurrection, and in His ascension. You must believe that He's coming back again for His church. You must believe it. Because all the signs that He gave, are they not coming to pass in our very eyes? They are coming to pass. And you must believe that He's coming back again with His church to take over this world. You must believe. You must do the work of faith. The work of believing in the person, in the work, and in the teachings, and in the lifestyle of the Lord Jesus Christ. So why will believing be such a hard work? Why? How will it be that to just simply believe in Him, it will be such a hard work? Why? Open for me James 2, 18, 20, 26.
James 2:18. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds.
Please, can you take it again?
18. James 2:18.
Yes.
Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your good faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my face by my good deeds.
20 now.
Verse 20. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless?
26.
Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works.
If it is true faith, there's what we call the work of faith. Okay? If the faith that somebody has, it says that it is genuine faith, though, there must be actions to prove that faith. That's why, as simple as that word is believe in Jesus, most people think they do. When they don't, they disregard the things he has said, then they say they believe him. Let me give a simple example. You're driving. And maybe something happens on the road, you've experienced it. Maybe the bridge has collapsed, you understand? So you reversed. Maybe it's a rainy day or something, and you decided to be warning people to turn back that the bridge has collapsed. Now, if somebody tells you, now get to that point, and you told them the bridge has collapsed, though, he said, okay, thank you, thank you very much. Then he drives on towards that same bridge. Did he believe you? If he believes you, what does he need? He will turn back. He doesn't need to see it. He will just simply turn back. So people say they believe in Jesus. They start whole ministries. The things he taught, they don't talk about them. The things he asks us to do, they don't do them. Some people say that they are not comfortable, that they don't make people comfortable by preaching against sin and hell and all those kind of things, and they still believe them. So why is it difficult for human beings? Because human beings don't want to change. And belief in Jesus will make you change. How often? Every day and in every area of your life. That's why. Whoever wants to live with thanks in view must begin by doing the work of faith. What then is the patience of hope? What then is the patience of hope? Who has the voice Bible? The voice Bible. Who has it? Okay. I want you to read for me. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. What do we mean by the patience of hope? That is it. Remembering without ceasing, thy work of faith,
labor of love,
thy labor of love,
and patience of hope,
and thy patience
in our Lord,
in our Lord Jesus
Christ, in the sight of our God and Father.
Of God and our Father. Thank you. Now from the Voice Bible, we are looking at what is the patience of hope. Remembering without ceasing, your work of faith, labor of love,
your actions.
On
behalf of the true faith.
On behalf of the true faith.
Your tireless toil of love.
Your tireless toil of love.
And your unfailing.
Now, this is the patience of hope. Your unfailing.
Your unwavering.
Unwavering.
Unending.
And unending
hope.
Hope.
In our Lord Jesus.
In the fact that Jesus is coming back again. Thank you. Three key words. Unfailing. Unwavering. And what? Unending hope in or expectation in the return of Jesus Christ. I want you to know that many of our colleagues and brothers who are ministers have abandoned the fact that he's coming again. And do you know where the whole thing started from? They entered into one error in 1989 when they said that the world is going to end. And the thing, that fever gripped the whole world. I was just 9 years old at the time. But I knew the world would not end. Because I had known before that time that Jesus said that nobody knows the time. So I wasn't bothered about it. Even if he came a super did a special edition to show how people were behaving, what they were doing when they said that the world would end. So many sinners, all the prostitute houses closed down. All the sinners left their sin and came to church. Everybody's waiting that Jesus is coming. Ah, he's coming, he's coming. Of course, they were suddenly disappointed. And to save face, the only thing the churches had to start doing is, let us stop preaching that Jesus is coming. Let us now start talking about how to be relevant here while we are waiting. And that relevance while they are waiting has led them fully into the world. Date setting is an old error. What is it? It's a very old error. And I've never believed it. They also said 2012, the world will end. That's how they did the 2012 movie. Mayan calendar ended at 2012. I knew the world will end. But Jesus said, no man knew the time. His coming signifies the beginning of the end. And there has been no time in the history of man when the church has failed to prepare people for his coming as it is in our age. There's no time. It's so terrible. People know about every other thing else. They don't know he's coming again. So what then is the patience there? That no matter how long my master delays or tarries, what happens? I will expect him. He says those three words were what? Unwavering. Unwaveringly, I will not waver because he has not yet come. I will wait because I know he does not lie. My expectation that Christ is coming will not end because I know he will come. My expectation will not fail because I know he is coming. That's the meaning of the second one there. How to labor and live eternity in view by having the patience of hope. Patience that is born from what? Hope. And of course, you can't have that and build for this world. You won't build for this world. You live in contentment because you know that your life does not end here. You are grateful for whatever your lot is. And you are grateful because you know it will see you through no matter what you have to face. So many. So I ask you, when was the last time, and I'm not saying your Sunday school manual. When was the last time that you had a message about the Father is coming? You say, Oluma, can we lower? You know, all those very, very important things. When was the last time? Is it not constantly breakthrough? When was the last time you had a message about hell? And they described the place very well. Because Jesus described the place. Did he not? So how come now that will no longer be part of our sermon? And people from, they don't even go to hell from home again, from church. That they are going to hell. Is it not because men think he will not come again? And because iniquity will abound, what did Jesus say? The love of many shall wax cold. Your love should not wax cold because he will come. He's not a liar. He's going to come back again. How terrible it will be on that day when he comes. For majority who are in this present day church will not make it. Do you know why? They are not expecting anything. Is it not what you are expecting that you prepare for? They are not expecting anything. Because nobody told them anything. People will still be having their conventions. They will still be having their camp meetings. They will still be having all the things that they are doing. And they would have come. They would have gone. The only thing that will happen is that there will be so much accidents. Because when a car that is being driven by a Christian, if the rapture happens and it goes, the car will crash. Whoever that car kills, that one is on his way to hell. It's a very simple thing. If an aeroplane that is being piloted by a Christian, if the Christian goes, what happens to the plane? It will crash. All the souls on it, suya. That's when people will now start crying. That, yay. Those things, those SU, it's Christians that will cry like that too. Or church people. That what those SU people used to say, it has come to pass. Hey, they will come to church to cry. Pastor too will be there. It will not be you in Jesus' name. All of them will be crying. Hey, what are we going to do now? And of course, I hope you know, everyone who say they are born again during the tribulation will be killed. Or you don't know. During the reign of the Antichrist, whoever says a Christian will die. It's there in the book of Revelation chapter 20. And I saw the souls of those that were killed because of the testimony of Christ that came. He said he was asking around. I think around chapter 11. He said, who? It's also in chapter 20. That who are these? He said they are those who came out from the great tribulation. Then I said, how long, Lord? How long will you avenge our blood from those who dwell upon the earth? He said, no. Wait until your number is complete. The bulk of people that we saved at that time will be people that are ready to be persecuted unto death. That I name your initial group, say, even if I have to die, I will die. Well, why must you wait until that time? Before somebody will be serious. And there's no guarantee. Because we don't know the kind of torture, the kind of persecution. Then Christians will be hunted down the way they are hunting ISIS down. That's how Christians will be hunted down. Hunted down, given the option, because they can't give you the mark of a beast without against your will. Give the offer, drop this old Christian nonsense that you are not dropping, the person is terminated. He will come again. And this church that is not persecution proof will be left behind. Amen. So the other day, what Boko Haram needed to do in Lagos churches is to throw grenades 2 times. People will be watching from home. Because they don't want to die. Beyond the state of the church, my concern is you. What is my concern? That's my concern. That's my concern. How patient will you be? Will you be patient unto death? Even if everybody goes away, will you stand alone? I will wait. You know why I will wait? I have chosen and decided to wait. Why am I doing that? Because I found out that he has integrity. I found out he does not lie. In fact, I found out that all what he said will be happening before he comes. What's happening now? It's happening. Do you know that one of the signs of his coming is the rise of homosexuality? Oh, you are not sure. Let me explain it to you. He said, as it was in the days of Lot. He said, so will the day of the coming of the Son of Man be. What was the thing about the days of Lot? Shut up. They say gay now. They call homosexual gay. And people are still attempting to preach in America and attempting to wed James and John so that the pastor will not go to prison. Let me believe in prison. They say, somebody's sexual orientation. You know why people depart from God? They just be going into the pit. Deeper and deeper. Which one is sexual orientation? What does that one mean? What's orientation in being male or being female? So, the whole thing, of course, people like Obama and the rest of them, children of doom and perdition, it's clear now Germany too now has signed it into law. Kadiri and Kazim, Kayode and Kule are now married. And they are celebrating. Some things just don't make sense. It's as simple as that. Why are they adopting baby? Why can't they make baby? Even male goats, I don't see male goat pushing another male goat. I've never seen before. Which means that they are lesser even than animals. But Romans 1:29 to the end had already talked about it. Since they refuse to retain the knowledge of God, God has also given them the reprobate mind to do things that are not convenient. You say a gay activist. They say my joker. You know what God did to them in Sodom? He first of all blinded all the people in the city, so that nobody will escape. That's the first thing he did. Blinded everybody. And I can see that blindness now. You know, then you will see Obama and the rest of his blind European friends. You know, which just as we had gender inequality, there should also be, sexual orientation equality. They are all blind. And when God wants to make sure he destroys people, what does he do first? He makes sure deep darkness will rest upon them so that they will have no escape. And I see the church being very careful around it. Say, hey! And of course, there are several pastors that they can point to. That, can you see? He was just denying what he really was. We can pray for a pastor that committed adultery. Where do we begin with a pastor that was pursuing one small boy? Where do we start from? Because that's no longer sin, that's perversion. That's perversion. It's no more sin. I can still relate with the fact that, this man of God fell with this woman. There's hope for him. Amen? When a young man is not safe around a pastor, there's no hope for the pastor. Don't ask me whether it's possible to repent. A normal homosexual person that an unbeliever can repent. Do you understand? Don't tell me a servant of God who is going into that kind of thing has repentance. Don't tell me. Don't tell me. Why didn't God forgive them in Sodom and Gomorrah? Is he not a merciful God? There are things you don't do. When you do those things, you provoke God and decide that you don't want to see, you see it. Simple. Ask God. I don't know whether there's forgiveness for them. That's what I'm saying. Same thing about, I don't know whether there's forgiveness for any man of God that goes into occultism. So that, church, I live, whether I can say, mercy, Lord, mercy, Lord. Me, I'm not sure there's forgiveness for those kind of things. It's not that you didn't know. It's not that you've not tasted of the word of God before. It's not that you've not tasted of the powers of the age to come before. There are things you don't, there are lines you don't cross. Okay, even if we say, okay, this pastor is a fornicator or an adulterer, she didn't become a serial adulterer. Then there's no need to be a ministry again. We have agreed that the first one is a mistake. Now the sixth one, seventh one. That's not the third point. Now. What are you doing in ministry? What are you doing there? You need to sit down. And because just don't worry about saving souls. I know souls are perishing. Make sure your own enters first. Leave the work for those who are able to do it. As we begin to look at labor of love, so remember what I said? The first one, work of faith, simply means what? Active belief in the Lord Jesus. Don't forget. Labor of love, patience of hope means what? My unfailing, unending, and unwavering expectation on the return of Jesus Christ. Okay? That's the second one. The third one and the last one is the labor of love. So then, what is the labor of love? It is work. That is your life's assignment or ministry. It is work that is done on the foundation of love. And that is done because of love. Do you understand my English? Or we can simply say, it is work that is done because one loves God and loves his fellow human beings. Okay? That's a simple way of just putting it. Most ministerial labor today is not labor of love. It is labor of self-love. Labor of what? To be in ministry, and after a couple of years, hand over to my son. Amen. And all the schools and all that, my daughter is the one in charge of that. All the ministry properties written in my family's name is not a labor of love. It's a labor of self. Amen. Or self-love. And obviously, it's because the person is not building eternity in view. Why? Because what we have done with love, eventually that will last. And that will stand before God. And then all the brothers all of these brothers that are writing down things on the board now, when we are all young, and the ones recording. They now must tell my son, who is in two, is still in nursery school. Sir, yes, sir. No, that cannot be labor of love. It is evil. What is it? It has no other name. And let them not even pretend like Pharisees and tell me God told them. God does not say things like that. Amen. Show me who did Peter, or you think Peter didn't have children because he had mother-in-law, so when he had the wife. Did Peter hand over the church of Jesus Christ to his family? Eh? Did Moses hand over the congregation of Israel to his sons because he has two sons, Gershom and the other one? Did he hand it over to them? Was he not his personal assistant, Joshua, that took over the ministry? He said, who does the Lord want to set over his people so that the country of Israel will not be like sheep having no shepherd? And God said, bring up here the young man, Joshua. That's the person that I want to use, not your boy that has been sent to school. Amen. How would that great work continue? The sentiment, and we have always seen it. There's never one of them that put his children, and that means became greater. I don't know if you have found her. Not even can I tell you again. Not even what? And that's where they borrowed it from. All the Nigerian pastors doing it. That cannot be labor of love. Hey, but when that happens to our children, hey, let the children live the life that God has sent them to come and live. Let them become what God wants them to become. Leave it. Leave it. Don't touch it. One died. The wife took over. The church broke. The wife is getting very old now again. I'm waiting for another break because she wants to hand back to her son. Greed. What did I call it? Greed. That's the only thing worrying them. Greed. So ministry has become... My friend's home. That's people that you are talking about. My friend's home. Because what we are going to share. That's why the church is not effective, because it's not the work of God people are doing anymore. They're just carving up things for themselves. Simple and short. Say, but if I don't do that, even this church that we have built, they will take it from me. Then what happens to my wife and my children? You labor with love. And let us see whether God will owe you. Amen. If he didn't owe you when you are alive, it's when you die that God will just suddenly go broke because you have died. And he will not be able to take care of your family. How will it be if you are not the name on top? Huh? How will it be that you also, you are just one of those maybe parish pastors? And you are told, you know, I heard of the case of one of them who recalled a pastor from the UK and put his own son there. And you want that man to be happy with him, with you, you posted him to Ekpoma, and your own son took the seat of that man. Do you think his life will balance again? And they must obey the last command. Since you are the one that sent them there, they must come. Your own children cannot serve in Sudan. If my children attempt to enter ministry, if they dare it, I think God is calling me for this thing, I would say it's good. That's very good. You to be a nurse, okay. See our mission around Afghanistan. Yeah? That's where you serve. Say you go to South Sudan. So that if you die, I can know that we have contributed to martyrs in the faith. Is it not so? It's so now. They are thinking Port Harcourt, Abuja. No. You are thinking UK, New York. Where is toughest? The battle is toughest. That's where you go. Where you will know God. Where they are not standing. By the time you woke up, all those witches, they will have carried your bed with you on top of it to the market square. You don't know what you are doing. Labor of love. Why did it and how did it grow to this level? Of course, if we have been merchandising the grace of God, and we have accumulated so much, we'll have to be thinking deeply, how do we keep it, that the family will not go to ruin. So don't even start merchandising. Do you understand? If you don't start, you will never be in their shoes. It's their burden, and they must carry it. But let me tell you something. If they don't do those things that they are doing, there are pastors under them that are ready to carve up the whole thing. Because they all know themselves. Anything. I'm always in love. What they all built together. So it doesn't have a choice. Or they don't have choices. They have to do what they have to do. So if you will not end up with them, don't even start at all. When there's nothing to grab, what will you be fighting for? When there's nothing to grab. Never do ministry and everything is just in your name. Don't do it. It is the work of God. Whose work is it? Put it in a general name, maybe Compassion Ministries or something like that. You understand? Let there be a board. You understand? That manages it. Not that you are the board chairman, your wife is vice board chairman, your first son is. I'm glad that for another vice, deputy vice chairman. I don't blame them. It's people that serve under them that may blame because they are not wise. Is it not clear what they are trying to do? So when there are farmlands, when there are schools, when there are hospitals, who owns it? All those children in school. No. When it's supposed to be for God. Who is deceiving who now? And somebody says, but you know, it's not very, it's when you build your own university. I say, keep your mouth shut. It has been done before. Catholics are still doing it. Damnation hospitals. And it is nuns who are giving up their lives long ago that I just want to serve God that are nurses there. They are missionary schools. They are the ones that are teachers there. So we go that way, and we do not make it a profit-oriented business, so that there is nothing to inherit. Because it's all labor of love, all through. Hallelujah. That's how to do it. Same people that use head to carry concrete and cement, their children can't attend the same schools. That is not labor of love. If everybody is quiet and talk to my anointed, me, I will speak. Because what is evil. The most expensive schools in Nigeria are Christian schools. So-called Christian schools. They are not Christian schools. If they are Christian schools, it is in the spirit of Christ. Anointing is for merchandising. Jesus said, freely you receive, freely give. We receive freely, then we double it, we merchandise it. He said, don't come before God empty-handed. When he gave it to you, what did you come with? Can you put a tag on mercy? Can you? Something that you receive because God was just merciful to you. Can you put a price tag on it? And I've often seen it. Those who merchandise the grace of God, their revelation gets to a level and it does not increase. So they have to be repeating the same type of meetings, repeating the same type of saying the same thing all over again because there's nothing more. After all, you have gathered enough. Abi? So since you have gathered enough, you are a respectable name, you are one of the richest people in the country, and it's okay there. Die with that one. That's enough. I want to be a trailblazer like Paul. Men, even with gray hair, they are still fresh. Hallelujah. Till the day they die, they are still fresh. That's the kind of man of God I want to be. I want to labor with love. Trusting that God will take care of me, will take care of my family. I want to pour out my life as a drink offering so that people can find the truth. And my life is not a hindrance to them finding the truth. I want us to pray so that we can have enough time to ask questions. And I want you to focus on praying for the future. We'll start from the last one to the second one and the first one. You understand? Lord, help me to be contented in your love such that I can labor with love. Let us stand up to pray. Help me to be contented in how much I am loved of God. So that I can labor in love. I can labor sacrificially. Love is always sacrificial. I can give my all. I can be poured out. Help me to labor Help me, Lord, that I'll be contented. First of all, give me a revelation of your love for me. Trust me to understand how much you love me so that I can labor with love. I will not deceive you. There are people who are nurses. That's what God has called them to be. They don't want to make money. They just want to take care of people. Then they find themselves in a so-called Christian hospital. They see how, when money is not dropped, how patients are treated. But since they don't have any means to help anybody, they can't do more than what they could have done by themselves. Yet, they had a life that they are willing to give, you know, to surrender to God, that whatever I want to do with it. Somebody takes that and confuses the person, frustrates the person, is bitter, and he must leave that place. This evil must stop in the name of Jesus Christ. Must stop. And it must stop in your time. Let me tell you something that you're going to begin to notice. When all these men of God start dying, you will see it will be dirty and it will be open. People scrabbling for churches. That no, this is our own. No, that's our own. No, we're going to get that. They will sue themselves to court. I'm telling you. And juju will be involved. Because they are not building for heaven. They are not inspired by God. They vacillated long, long time ago. There will be a scrabbling. And the moment those men who are holding them together dies, the churches will scatter. They will break. Because the sons that they are giving all those so-called power to will not have the influence their fathers had. Because it's not of God. It's never of God. I want you to pray. That time will happen soon. And souls will be looking for where to go. Pray that whatever calling God has given to you, that you'll be ready. And that you do it right when it's your time. In the name of Jesus Christ. Pray that you'll be ready and that you'll do it right in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray that you'll be ready so that when men begin to abandon them, when the eyes of people are open finally that this man does deceiving us, but we want to serve God. Pray that the Lord will find you faithful. That from now you'll be preparing for that time. So that you can point to men that no. That some people miss it doesn't mean that we're all wrong. And they can see clearly from the examples of your life that you are self-sacrificial. You just want to serve the Lord. And you just want to help people because you love God and you love His people. Help me to be ready, Lord. Help me to prepare. In the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Over 20 years ago, when we started out, I want to know God. There are meetings that they will hold. And just one CD, I didn't say the whole sessions of the teachings. One CD was sold at 3,000. Of course, we couldn't afford 3,000. But because we want to know God. I'm not surprised 20 years after, when it finished for the man that was doing that thing. So when they started bringing comedians, I wasn't surprised. Because those things will finish. Freely you have received. Freely do what? Give. There's nothing that you pay to God. I want us to understand. And I want us to pray. We work. Why do we work? To take care of other people. Okay? For our own needs, trust God for our needs. Is it not better that God should take care of you? Huh? And whatever you have, you can take care of other people? I think it's better. I want us to pray. Lord, no matter how you increase my work, let me not turn into a merchant. Let me not turn into a merchant. I'm called to save men. I'm not called to merchandise the grace of God. Let me not turn into a merchant. When men turn into merchants, the grace of God over their life dries up. That's what happens. I have seen it over and over and over and over again. I'm tired. I have seen it. Let me not turn into a merchant. Let me not turn into a merchant. Help me in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you because you are faithful. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Who knows this book? Good morning, Holy Spirit. Who knows that book? Powerful book. Until they repackaged it. I read both. And it was the first one that had very strong grip on my spirit. When he wrote it the way the Holy Spirit gave him, when you are reading that book, the Spirit of God will visit you. It's not anything, because it happened to me, and I need the testimony of several people that same thing happened to me. But the moment the book was selling, you know, they had to rewrite it and they repackaged it. The Lord left it. Let them sell. Yeah, they still sold though. They made money, but the impact was missing. It was no longer an eternal work. It was no longer useful to help men to find God. Of course, he just joined them, started talking about how his ring is $20,000 and all that nonsense. He joined them. I want you to pray. Now, Lord, 10 years from now, if you tarry, 20 years if you tarry, every influence that will degrade what you want me to become in you, whether it is people or movements, Lord, jealously shield me from them. Shield me from them. Bible says, as your years or as your days, so shall your strength be. As I grow older, let me grow in grace. Let me grow in power. Let me grow in conviction. Let me grow in love of God and of men. Let me grow in labor in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me not grow lesser. Let me not grow weaker. Cause me to know you more. Cause me to please you more. In the name of Jesus Christ. Help me, Lord. Let my focus not shift. Let it not change. Cause me to focus on Jesus and on the kingdom of God that is coming. Let my message remain Jesus. Let my message remain pointing men to God. No matter how old I get, don't let my message change. No matter what experience I have, let my message remain the same. Let me keep standing upon the truth until the very end. Let me die on the truth. Let me be a good soldier. Let me die at my post. Help me, precious Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. The same man I was talking about, of course, when they were doing miracle service and all of that, some newspaper people planted somebody, amen, that the person needed healing. And the person was reportedly healed, someone that nothing was wrong with, was reportedly healed in his meeting. So when they did an interview with him, and they told him that they didn't remember. He said, a wonderful testimony, this and that. They said, on air, we sent him. All of that was done to simply discredit his work. That's what it was about. And I saw him saying, well, you know, I'm a man. I don't know everything. But you claim to be very close to God. God cannot be deceived. Any idiot knows that. Is it not so? But when we do things in the way Christ didn't do it, we run into trouble. Did Jesus hold miracle crusades? Did he? Yet, were the dead not raised in his ministry? Were the blind not given sight in his ministry? Were the deaf not receiving hearing? We don't hold miracle crusades. Whenever Jesus is performing a work of a miracle or something, when people are coming, what happens? He wraps up on time and tells them to go. We started using camera. You don't go beyond Jesus' anointing to error. There are no two ways about it. So therefore, I want you to pray. Let me stay within my boundary so that the enemy will not trap me in the name of Jesus. Help me to stay in my boundary so that Satan will not entrap me in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me stay in my calling. Let me stay in my boundary. Let me stay within the boundary of my call. Let me stay within the boundary of your pattern. Let me stay within the boundary of your pattern so that I will not miss it in the name of Jesus. There are so many landmines in the ministry. So many. I don't want to just finish well. I want to finish strong. Help me, Lord, to stay within my boundary, the boundary of my call, the boundary of the pattern of God, the boundary of my ministry. Help me to stay within it, my Father, in the name of Jesus. Help me, Lord. help me in Jesus' name. Thank you because you are faithful. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. I pray that as the heavens are opened upon you this afternoon, may they remain open. In the name of Jesus Christ. That which you have done and that God has done for you, may it be permanent in Jesus' name. Your heavens will not be closed again. In the name of Jesus Christ. Instead, deeper and deeper, clearer and clearer, the Lord will take you into this grace in the name of Jesus. Into a personal walk where you understand Him and He understands you in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for you in the name of Jesus that you will do the work of faith. I pray that you will have the patience of hope. I pray that all through your life while you are in this world, you will labor with the labor of love. Thank you, Father, because you are faithful. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Let us be seated. It's time to ask questions before we close. Questions either on the things that we taught or some of the examples that we gave. Yes. Rokayode.
As a person, how can you labor in love? Let's assume God asks you to start a particular thing and He expects you to get that thing done. Maybe you are looking at the financial aspect. You understand? And you could not start that thing. How will you be able to like start without not looking at the financial aspect? And how will you not be carried away with your colleagues who are getting something out of what they are doing?
I get you, but can you give a clearer example? God asked you to start something. Something can mean anything. So can you give a clearer example? Maybe something like this. So that if it falls under what is secular,
okay.
I can tell you. If it falls under what is ecclesiastical, that is what is maybe ministry-based, I can...
Maybe God asks you to build a hospital.
Okay.
You understand? And you are looking at the financial aspect. You understand? You don't even get started. You understand? And maybe just because you don't have money at hand at that present time, you are not like, how will you get this done?
Okay.
And how will you go about it as a person?
Thank you. Very good question. Then, how won't you be carried away by those who are doing the same thing and it seems that they are succeeding at what they are doing? As you are speaking, the picture I had was God asking Noah to build an ark that will carry all the animals of the world. How much did God give him? Huh? We don't know. How much did God give him? The Bible didn't tell us God gave him anything. But God gave him the most important thing, His word. What did God give him? Now, Brokaide, you see, many times the problem with us is that our personal relationship with God, we allow it to suffer in the sense that we don't know God as we ought to know Him. And so if He's asking us to do anything, it looks impossible because we don't know how God works. Do you understand? I have understood over the years that God does not commit Himself to anything except He has spoken about that thing. But once He has spoken about that thing, what happens now? He's committed. He will do it. Okay? And whenever He asks you to do something, there's always where you will start from as a person. Even before you now can go back to God and say, Lord, we need this, we need that. Okay? So, if, for example, you said God asked you to open a hospital, okay? It is simple. It is what? If I'm the one that God asked to do that kind of thing, and I'm actually, that's part of what I'm supposed to be doing, okay? All I will begin with is to know God to the point of, I will never doubt if He says, do this or do that. Okay? When I've known Him up to that point, I will know that every life is in His hands. Then I'll start asking Him to send people who He wanted to use for that work. I'll ask Him for where He wants us to use and how we'll get the place. If we have to exchange money, to get a parcel of land. Do you understand? We'll go and check the land. And when they say so amount, we'll come back to God and do what? And tell him, Lord, oh, after all, he's the one that wants to do a place. Tell me. Do you understand? Lord, oh, just so amount is what they called it. Do you like the place? If he tells you he likes the place, he will provide the money. How will he provide money? He will tell you how he will provide it. God is the easiest person. He's the simplest person to work with. But you can't go into these details if you have not known him personally to that point where relating with him is very, very easy. Okay? And he does not say to you things that are humanly possible. Amen? If it is God, if it is of God, it won't be what you can achieve as a person. It will be more than you. And the reason why he does that is so that nobody will be boasting about anything. Okay? So that's how to achieve it. It must begin with your own personal walk with him. Questions? Yes.
How do we stop seeing material things when it comes to what God is asking us to do? I know that that question looks like funny.
It doesn't look funny. I just want to understand the context of material things.
In the sense that many times when God asks us to do a work, what comes us is the resources to put those work in place.
The resources to use?
To use. So, how, I know that definitely that we, how do we stop seeing those things? You know, stop seeing it in the sense that they come and sometimes they will hinder you from taking steps. How do we stop seeing those things so that we'll be able to press in into everything that God is asking us to do without seeing those things? Even though you might see them physically, that these things are there, but there's a way we walk that we don't see it. Somebody might just say, ah, this has happened. Then the next thing that comes to you as a human is that, ah, this thing will, with this amount, will solve the problem. Or this one will do.
Thank you. Very strong question, but it's not a one-way question. You understand? Our perspective of money and provision needs to change. That's the issue. Are you getting it now? One of the things God asked me to do is that we should be producing, or sorry, one of the things God asked us to do is that we should be producing tracts. Tracts, not the born-again tracts, you understand? Tracts for Christians. Things that can help them constantly to grow. And less than 2 weeks ago, the Lord added to it and said, you know, for every written tract that, let's say we write something about how to labor with eternity in view. Do you understand? Let's say we write a tract like that, that a Christian can sit down and read and learn. That added for us that we should also add illustrations to it. So that way it explains that tract. So more like we draw a story, okay, that carries the same name, how to live with eternity in view. Now, I'm not a printer, amen? I've never been a printer. I don't have a monthly salary. And he's not saying that when we produce those things, we should sell them. He said we should give them out. Then we should give them out of that constantly, every month. Because I have been trained in how provisions come, I looked around, I discovered that at least we have 3 printers. How many printers? I didn't say printing machine. I'm saying people whose work is printing. Okay? Now, all I need to do is obey. Because you're asking, how do we stop seeing? There are things I must do first that doesn't require money. E.g., the story is being written. The illustration is being done. Those ones don't require money. Do it. When you have now done your own, let us see whether God is not the one that will be faithless. Or it is you. Once you have obeyed, but the Lord told me, said, when I told you about hospitals and all of that, there are people who I'm going to give money to. What I'm giving them money for is to run missionary schools, hospitals, and those things, so that people can see that God is good. And you can see that in a single ministry, there are several ministries. You understand? Inside it, And when each person is where he wants him to be, he finds fulfillment there. Okay? You'll find out that there are people that, let me use this tract thing that I said as an example now. All what they want to just do is give to a project that they know is of God. That's what they want to do. They just want to give to any project. There are people that they won't give money, but they'll give service. You understand? They will physically be available to do whatever it is that you're asking them to do. Okay? So, our understanding and perspective of provision must change. I said it yesterday, before there was money, there was blessing. For we knew in Genesis 1 that God blessed Adam and Eve and he gave them the whole world. And as that when money came, and we said, the richest man in the world, we have not seen one of them that will own a country. Yet, when God blessed Adam, he gave him the whole world. So I said that blessing is better than talking about money. Okay? So our perspective about provisions and the role of provision and who provides must change. It must change from that of the world. Yes. I've just told you how. Obedience. When God asks you to do something, start the one that does not immediately require money. When you get to that point, provision will come. That's how. You start by being obedient. Do what is asking you to do until it's no longer in your hand. Are you getting it now? Well, when it's no longer in your hand, you talk and you provide. Simple. Okay? That is how. Do you understand or you don't understand? Process it. Because what I said is clear enough.
Yeah, my questions are two questions. But number one is this. Is it possible for God to call one and call his child too? That's why I'm going to somewhere there. I want you to answer that one.
Okay.
And if it is possible, and somebody is working with his father in the vineyard of God for a long time, and eventually the fire dies, is there anything wrong in a guy stepping into the father's shoes, provided it's God's leading? And if it is, won't people look at see it as something else?
Thank you, sir.
That's number one question.
Okay.
Number two question is about merchandising. It all depends on what we call merchandising. For example, I am writing a book presently, intend to print and sell.
Yes.
So if I do, am I merchandising the word of God?
A round of applause. Very good question. Very, very good question. Number one, is it possible for God to call a man and call his son or child? Yes, because every soul is called. Okay? Every soul is called now. Everybody's. See, none of my children will escape ministry, I know. Are you getting it, sir? But what department they will serve in, where they will be posted to, is in the hand of who? God. And it's what I've understood from when I'm very, very young. Offenses will surely come. Or causes for stumbling will surely come. Woe to the person that makes himself that cause of stumbling. You see, even in these same works that we are talking about, they are where those children could serve. And it won't cause any rancor or any issue at all. I expect that every organization should have a structure. That this is the head, this is the next, those kind of things. To bring a child in one way or the other is somehow. I'm not saying a child cannot serve, even if he's called into ministry. Even, let's say, it's the kind of ministry that his father has. He can't. I have no problem with that. Let us even say that it is God that wants him to take over from his father, even though I've not seen one. You understand? Even though personally I haven't seen one. But let's assume it's possible. Do you know God, since it is his will, what will he do now? He will make it so clear to everybody that this thing is of God. Not this one that we are seeing men manipulating and doing all manner of evil, just so that their own children can be sorted out for life. You know? And that is what is wrong. Is it a question? You are adding to this question. Okay.
Sir, I want to look at it from a ministry that is not popular. I mean, not a pulpit ministry.
I understand.
Now, because for me, I'm thinking that is possible. That's okay. Why I want clarity on that.
I will
like somebody, if I'm into writing now, and my son has been working with me, or there's a particular work of ministry I'm doing that is not known. So, and I'm dying.
Okay.
And I sense that I should hand over.
Bro, if you have labored to disciple men as Jesus ordered us, God will not wait for your son to grow up. That's the problem with us. Even the very base of what most of these people are doing is not, they are not discipling anybody. Most of the time, there are pastors I know that are very big now, they don't raise anybody. If God has helped you to grow up a bit, they acquire you as my son in the Lord. Give you money, do all those things. They don't raise anybody. You know, even though this is a ministers meeting, I'm careful not to say some things. I know some of them that they don't raise anybody. They don't know how to pass it on. They don't know how to. Because they themselves weren't discipled. You understand? So that's the answer. And it has nothing to do with whether the ministry is small or big. There is a purpose of God for the life of your son. That's what I'm angry about. And when you are insisting that he must do this your own, so that the thing does not leave the family, you are denying God who made him. And you are denying that boy to become the best he will ever be. It's a key principle. I hope we know. People in the world, maybe they are big, they are big, and that they groom children to take away from them. And there's nothing wrong if it's a godly principle. See, you can't hire a single person that he did not send. If you do it, if they don't spoil that work in your hand, that work will not be acceptable to God because you are using tools he didn't give you. You understand? God said, as you do track two, I can't be saving for it. What did I say, sir? Who can fund God's work? If it is the work of God, who can fund it? He told me once, he said, the resources I used to feed the whole creation in a day, you will never need it in 10 years. That's what he told me. So, is God so broke? Or could it not be that it is our own unbelief? I come back to you about money. You know, let's just do this. You know, I've tried those things before when I didn't know. But I know, you can't fund God's work. When it's ready, God's provisions comes as a man. It comes as a money and it comes in material things. You understand? It comes as human beings. It comes as financial resources. It could come as landed properties. It could come as different things. But whatever it is needed, it will bring it. Okay? So, that's my issue, sir. You understand? There's a purpose of God for the life of that boy. And like I've said clearly, if it is in the plan of God that child is the one that will take over that work, it will be clear to everybody. Without you having to, come by second and second. That's my son. I would want you to be handling all what we are doing in Abuja and Northeast. That Boko Haram is just finishing in. Let him come to their court. That is evil. It's not of God. And so I can supervise them. When that other man's children ask him, sir, won't you leave anything for us to? You make that man, the people that labor under you, to be fools. Who never built anything for their own children, but helped you to build. And God, who is the righteous judge, he won't forgive that thing. He won't forgive it all. He won't. Because that man answered because he thought that you were not knowing that way, homo, schemane, or schemtien. You understand? Then the second question, I wrote a book and I intend to sell. Am I merchandising? No, you are not. We also have written books and we are selling them, amen. Although for us, if I think the book is, how much is it on the website? 200 naira or free. If you have 200 naira, we'll collect it. If you don't have, we'll give you free. Now, that's easier because it's on the website. But what if it's printed? I know ministers who are friends of mine who God will give money to print this book. And when they go to minister in a place, God can say, okay, sell half the price. Sometimes you can say, don't sell at all. Just give it away for free. You understand? Sometimes you say, sell at the whole price. Are you getting it now? Sometimes writing of such books would help people who are in full-time ministry. Do you understand? That's the simple truth. It could help them. But my problem is when men merchandise it. What do I mean by merchandising it? My cost of production for a book is 100 naira. I'm selling out 200 naira. That should be enough. Because I've already covered my cost of production. Now, my cost of production is 100 naira. I'm selling at 900. That's merchandising, sir. I don't know how much that man bought the CD that they are selling for us at 3,000 per one for. But I knew in those days, CD, where 5 naira being for Manta CD? Where maybe 15 naira or something. Manta CD come. And for God's sake, 3,000. Not even the whole meeting. One. Just about that. You know, I'll go to a book stand. I'll be looking at when they call price of book. Because you know you don't have money. You just be looking and be looking. I know when God was going to bless me. You know what he did? He gave me whole softwares free. Things that cost over $1,500 free. Up to now, I see those kind of things for me. And whenever I need money to buy, what will he do? If it's that I must pay. He will give money and I will pay for it. But my personal Bible study library is worth over $10,000. I'm telling you. And I didn't pay one naira for most of the things I have. Because God, if I had money, I was willing to exchange money for it. So you know now, there was time I was working there, I only had 2 months salary. That Bible at that time was 6,000. My salary was 6,000. I went to buy Bible. Because I want to know God. Do you understand? But if I don't have, I don't have. If I don't have, you will deny me again that you don't know God. That's the problem. Ah, she was annoyed. My mother was annoyed. She told me, hold her Bible. Come. Lake. Long she said lake. She thought that the she thought it was lake. She was so angry with me. This is me today. Having eaten and eating from that same Bible. That's why I'm not holding my head and praying everywhere and saying that every cockroach is a demon. That's why I'm not saying those things. Because I've been able to understand. Okay? So that's my problem. There's no merchandising. There are times when God gives you things to write and men will thank you that you allow God to use you. And sometimes they are willing to exchange money. Sometimes they will pack honorarium. They won't even give you money for the book. They give you honorarium. Sometimes those books become open doors to several other ministries. You understand? So there's nothing wrong if what you're doing is covering your cost of production and a little more on top of it. But when greed enters into it, that is merchandising. Wear every t-shirt, it must be you and your wife's face. I think it's only him now. Every mug, it must be your face. It is greed. It has no other name. You know, I don't take salary in this ministry. But we go tapes, talonga. There's a go, but salary, talon, talon, talon. We are deceiving ourselves now. Yes, sir.
I think this thing is getting more provocative.
Yes.
In the sense that I have been to several ministries.
Yeah.
And they will have their church, they have their ministry. I was under somebody's ministration sometimes. He was telling me that if the mission takes over this church today, at least this 32-seater bus is in the name of my ministry. This one is in the name of my ministry. At least the mission will not take that one from me. Now, setting up schools. I learned that there are some churches that they set up of the schools is based on them and their wife. They are the owner of the school. But the school is being named after the, not really after the church, but it has a corresponding name with the church. Yeah, see, it's under the ministry. But I learned that everything is being controlled by the owner, the head of the church.
Yeah.
Now, how do we differentiate between the two? That's number one. Number two is this. If the so-called minister is now stepping aside or leaving or dies, what becomes of that organization, that school in particular, and the church? Won't there be problem between the church and the school?
And people will use juju to fight. There will be problem.
So now the point now is this. Is it not better if I am called by a minister of God, I have a church, and I have a vision of running a school? Is it not better for me to take my school elsewhere, give it another name entirely, and leave it, let there be a parallel
line. Clear demarcation.
Exactly. And let the church knows that I have a school that I run. God gave me a vision. It's not as if commanding the children of my members to go there at all costs. If they can now that brings us back to cost. Now, if my school is higher, won't I be abused that I should be able to help members now? Maybe you have school now. Then I know what takes me to run the school, the kind of teachers I have there, the kind of investment I invested there.
Yeah.
Then must I not bring the children at a low rate because I don't want people to see me as a bad minister?
A round of applause. Very strong question. You see, it is sad, the condition that we have found ourselves in. It is really, really pathetic. Under normal circumstances, if we are sending children to school, or if anybody should have school, who is it that should have school? Is it not ministers? I'm asking you. Huh? Because they are supposed to have godly influence. Is it not so? And so because of their godly influences, we know our children are safe if they go to a place that is controlled by such people. So the first thing I want to say is it is not evil to own schools. That's what I'm trying to say. That's the first thing I'm trying to say. Now, there's a difference between schools. Let us say, okay, for instance now, my wife runs a Montessori school. That's where she is this morning. Reformation Platform is expected to have missionary schools. Are they the same, Brother Shebu? They are not. Why? I understood that you must demarcate from when? The very beginning. Okay? But let us talk about a minister who operates under another work. Do you understand? Let's say he's not the general overseer. He's just a minister. He could even be a parish pastor, but he's under an organization. Have them do it. Make that demarcation from the very beginning. Except God told you, open it for this bigger organization. Except that. If not, they will have a way of thinking that it is theirs. I've had cases of people who build the a sanctuary on their own landed property. And I've had cases where the churches take it. You understand? And no matter what excuse you want to give, that's not very good. Except if we are taking it over, we are giving back to that family the equivalent of the worth of the landed property and whatever properties. So that way it's fair from the very beginning. But we don't give them anything. We're expecting that big God, actually for God. It's not God that we're living it for. It's for the ego of some other people. And that's why younger ministers are fighting back. People have acquired so much. Check on Toini. You understand? So the best thing to do from the very beginning is let there be a demarcation. I'm a pastor under Hope Alive Ministries International. I should not call my school Hope Alive Nursery School. I'm looking for trouble. Are you getting it? Even if some workers in the church want to work with me, I'll be looking for trouble. I can call it Abraham and Sons International School. It's clear to everybody from the beginning, our pastor now runs his school. That way there will be no fight, no anything. You see, that pastor that you're talking about, he has found himself in a dilemma. You understand? A very massive church. And because the church is that big and the kind of proceeds that come from there, the people up are really looking down. They are really taxing him. So, and because he knows them and they know him, and they know the way he goes, that statement he made, he didn't make it in isolation. Ministers are very, very intelligent people. He made it to set some boundaries. You understand? Even though it's not too good. But that's what he did. And I think he's simply reacting to something. Maybe it's very possible that if he goes, the church won't give his family anything. You understand? But the challenge for him is that he's having an identity crisis. You understand? Sometimes we don't know that being pastor in a church may not be what God has called me to do. There should not be a fight. For instance, now, I could be pastoring a church, and at the same time, God has sent me to prison ministries. Whatever proceeds that come into the through the ministry, as long as my time and my work in my pastorate, you understand? In this prison ministry, is not undermining what I've been employed for here. I don't think it should be a problem. And that's why I think that the people here should want to convert and take over this other one. It's not right. The third is pastor. Pastor is not the only call that God calls people. Okay? What about this man? I can't remember, it's Pastor Johnson that wrote the history of the Yorubas. I think he's an Anglican pastor. For me, that's the most authoritative book on Yoruba history up to date. Copy his paperbacks around 4,000. He worked. It's over almost 600 to 700 pages. You know? Are we now going to say that, let's say the Anglican Communion will now say, we use our time to do it, so therefore you must give us something. If that's actually what causes problem. Then they are the things that spoils the ever. You understand? But under normal circumstances, nothing should stop somebody from owning a school, even if he wants to start in the church, as long as they permitted him. You understand? But let it be clear from the very beginning. If it's not clear, it will lead to problems in the future. Thank you, sir. Very good questions.
Right, Bram.
Yes, ma'am.
Reading the Word of God has been a very huge challenge to me over time.
Okay.
And in as much as I consciously make effort to read, something would definitely come up as regard my position in the house as a mother with other responsibilities and all of that. So okay. I love to read the Word, but I don't know. Can you help me?
A round of applause. Whose else case is like that? Oh, yeah, raise your hand. Let me see. Oh, did you hear the question? Oh, they said that you are speaking from your nose. You know, you speak like Oligo. And you clap what? And when I said a round of applause, so if you don't understand, you clap what they say. Did you hear a question? Can you repeat it so that, because the Lord is telling me that she's not the only person. No. Let him repeat it for you. You know, the way you speak English, you somehow.
She said she loves to read and study the Word of God, but because of her position as a mother in the house and other responsibilities,
a mother of children,
so she is unable to. But she really desires that she would, so she's asking for help.
Oh yeah, raise your hand if you are like that too. I'm not necessarily saying because you are a mother, but now all the brothers will say, well, at least I'm not a mother, so even though you have the same problem. If you are like that, if you feel you don't have enough time to study your Bible, can you raise your hand? Okay. The drive, the desire to. Okay. Because I know that when we start talking about it, there will be different reasons. Yes. Stress. Overstress. And when you open the Bible, I do this for long. I said, Genesis 2. Well, let me put this thing down. Even God knows I've tried. Who else? Do you have such problem or you don't? Yes, I don't. Yes, I do. Which one? Yes, I do. What is the peculiarity of your own? The desire. There's no desire. Okay. Who else? Stabile is your place at. The children, they are grown. And so if they don't cook, let them not eat. Okay, so you don't have that kind of problem. Okay. God has helped you with that. No problem like that. It's constant. Don't mind like that. Okay. Who else? Okay. You are able to study your Bible on time. Huh? Okay. All right. Mommy, which one is your own? Hallelujah. For some of us, it could be understanding. And we don't really understand this. So God will not say we are tired. We just leave it.
Exactly. Sometimes I will make time. I map out time for myself. Most especially midnight. So I map out that time.
But once we're even at a particular age, we don't sleep too much in the night. We can have that midnight season, yes?
But sometimes I will be knocked up because when I begin to follow, sometimes I will be knocked up. I won't understand again. So, needless. So, I'll just drop it. And...
Okay, so most time is understanding, Abi? Okay, it's not the time. Your problem is not the time. No, you have time. Since you have made time at night, that means time is not your problem. Okay, it's understanding. Okay, thank you. You said drive, Abi. Does this drive affect understanding too? Or it doesn't? Sometimes. What about you? Sometimes it affects understanding. Okay. Huh? Is it okay? Stephanie, yours, is it understanding or is it just time? Let's see. Okay. How do you manage the time? Okay. So let's answer you first. Then I'll start answering everybody one by one. Okay? God is the one that blessed you by giving you children. God is the one that blessed you by giving you a home that you can call your home and you have a husband. God is the one that blessed you by a business. So business should never be an impediment to our work with God. It should never be. That's the first thing I want you to understand. Secondly, I want you to know God wants to help you. Despite all what you are supposed to be doing and all that, see, God is a very jealous person. The time he likes most is when you are with him. Huh? So, what I want to do for you, things that can make Bible study easy. Do you understand? Such that as you now sacrifice things, the time for that Bible study to do things that you think are urgent, you can now begin to sacrifice those things for Bible study because now it's important. Understand? Okay. So, the very first thing I want to tell you is when you're a busy mother, you need to create a conducive atmosphere. Are you following me up to that point? You need to create a conducive atmosphere. Most of the time, mothers don't even have that kind of atmosphere. So, therefore, a lot of things get to them. They shout at children because they know that someone is studying and this one is coming. Mommy, I need this. That one is saying, Mommy, I need that. And you're just angry. Three things that can help condition your atmosphere. Okay? Holy music. Holy music. Holy music. It's either if you work from home or wherever you work, make sure songs that lift your spirit are always playing. Make sure they are always playing. Whenever you're not listening to music or you're not singing in your heart, make sure you're praying. So those things that are issues that you have to sort out and there are concerns and you're worried about them, they're actually prayer points. What are they? So make sure you pray. If you're not listening to music, have something that you're talking to God about. Okay? The final one is meditation. So if you're not listening to music, slot in a tip, a message that has blessed you. Not just, don't pick a random message, though. It will kill your spirit. Things that you know have blessed you before, or people whose message you know teach the truth and they don't say nonsense. Okay? Listening to such things will give you things to think about. For instance, let us say what the person preached on is how to live and labor with sanity in view. There are things that he would have said that while you are working with your hands, you can be thinking on. I don't think your work is the kind of mental work where you can't think while you're working. It's not. Abi? So which simply means that your mind can be engaged in something while you're doing whatever it is that you're doing. That's the way to go. By doing that, you have created an atmosphere that is holy. Your spirit will be under control and check. Such that if you are now meditating upon maybe a statement that was made or a scripture that was used, when next you open your Bible, what do you want to do? You want to continue deeper on that thing. That's the way to go. Above it all, constantly ask that the Lord will help you. He carries the weight of the world and is not tired. The things around you are not so many that can't help you. Do you understand? That's the way forward. Okay? Alright. Yours is understanding. Have you? And the drive. Okay, sorry, drive rather. Yeah, yeah, go ahead. Sometimes. Chapters. Only you. I understand. Or even sometimes when you are reading, your mind has gone to Abulegba. The mind, time has gone. Okay, what Bible translation do you use? NLT, most of the time. Okay. Now, since your matter is dry, I won't talk about understanding. I'll come to mommy when it comes to understanding. Then we can gain from it also. The issue is this. We don't study the Bible. No, in fact, I'm not even studying. I'm just reading. You understand? We don't read the Bible aimlessly. What did I say? That's the problem. Okay? Instead of reading, study. To study is to investigate. Is it not so? It's to ask questions. Okay? Now, but how will I study? How will I be able to start it? Two things. Even as you are sitting down now, are there not things that you are concerned about? Huh? That's what to study in the Bible. Do you understand? Why there's no drive is because you're not connecting what is happening to you with what you're studying. So maybe the issue is that you need money. You just need something to just be sorted out now. Huh? You may now go into the Bible, and that's where study aids come in. That is, things that helps you to study the Bible. There are different materials like topical Bibles, okay, Bible commentaries, different things like that that will help your study. We study the Bible for two reasons. One, to get immediate answers to the things that are troubling us. Two, to familiarize ourselves with the Word of God so that we're not ignorant. Do you understand? So let's say, if you are supposed to give me a topic of something that is bothering you now, I don't know, maybe fear, maybe sadness, can you say something? If you are supposed to summarize whatever the issue is, it could even be worry, no matter what it is. What is it that is troubling you now? Huh? Money, burden, or guilt. Okay, thank you. Look at that now. I will try and open my topical Bible now. You understand? You use a smartphone. Okay, so Android phone. So we can give you topical Bible before you go. All I need to open there is guilt. Or, give me now the different meanings of guilt. Another synonym. Guilt, burden, self-condemnation, for instance. So, I'm just going to open quickly. When I open, what will shock you is how much the Bible has said about it. Example of people who went through that same pain, all of those, such that now, if when you are studying on the self-condemnation, would that be right? Why? Because that's what's bothering you when? Now. So, let me try and open. Can you see? Conviction of sin. Hold on. Let me. Can you see? Conviction of sin. Instances of conviction. Adam and Eve. Joseph. Look at that. And when I'm done, accusation. Indictment. That's what are things I can study on. You understand? So, most times, what I have discovered is that most Christians have problem with studying their Bible because they don't know the things available that can make Bible study effective and easy. Okay? And since they don't know, how are they going to find what they need? Now, times will come when you are now used to your Bible. So that if something is bothering you, the Holy Spirit cannot tell you, go to this verse. Why? Because you are now used to the Bible. You don't necessarily have to use a topical Bible. But it's always good to start from there. I have not outgrown topical Bibles. There are times when maybe I'm preparing a teaching or something or a sermon that I have to go there, or maybe something is wrong with me, or I need to deal with something. I have several topical Bibles, me. And that's not the only thing. There are Bible dictionaries and blah, 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 different things like that, okay? So I've answered the question. If you will link your Bible study to what is wrong with you, be sorted, have you? So we'll make sure before you go today, you take the Bible, okay? And you take topical Bibles also with it. Yes. Mommy, what Bible translation do you use? King James. Mommy, did you do literature when you were in school? Literature? Yeah? You didn't. King James English is what they use in literature. It's over 400 years ago. That's why you're having problem understanding it. You understand? I would also advise that you have things like topical Bibles, you know. But there's even something better. One of the best ways for you to study as a person is use messages. Messages that you know blessed you. Do you understand? How I study this, if I listen to a sermon or I read a book, when I get home, I'll go over that sermon again. As I'm playing, I'll be pausing. If they say something I need to think about, I'll have a note where I write the things that I'm getting. Okay? The Bible verse that they called, maybe I've not seen that Bible verse before. Okay? Or the translation they used to explain, I've not seen it before. I will go back to read it and think on it. When I think on the things I'm getting, I'll be writing it down. Okay? The problem is King James English is difficult. For instance, the Bible says, for the mystery of iniquity already doth come, he that letteth it shall let, until it be taken out of the way. Mommy, what does that mean? It's not Arabic, it's King James English. So you just retire that. Which one is this one? Which one is this that letteth shall let? You understand? So instead, ma, buy simple translations. I'm sure God has blessed you. We will bring money today. We'll buy you Bibles that are very simple to understand. And yet not too far away from what you can see as Bible. You understand now? Okay? You could either buy NIV. No, I don't want to buy NIV. NIV is okay, but no. You could either buy New King James, or you buy the Message, or you buy Amplified Bible. You know, we'll tell you whatever. We'll tell you the options that are available. Bibles that you can easily understand. That's why you're having that problem. And then also sometimes, I don't know whether, is this your Bible? Let me see. Because also when you don't use Bibles that have cross-references, you'll be tired now. Because after reading, and they said unto Jephthah, come, be our captain, with that we may fight the children of Ammon. But if it has cross-references, that is, if it depends on other places, where they've said things like the same thing that is here, you are able to go and look at it, so you enjoy reading more because it's taking it from place to place, from place to place. And, you know, further explanation, those kind of things. So what I'm going to advise you to buy is a study Bible. In fact, you're buying two. You understand? One study Bible. I think you're a minister now. Abi? It's all right. Are you a minister? You're not a minister. You're a minister now. So you buy one other translation. They won't study Bible. Okay? We'll advise you on what to buy. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. What translation do you use? You have to do the same. Okay? I'm not saying don't use your King James. Buy others that helps you to understand. King James English is over 400 years old. The people that used to speak it are dead. Yeah, you get it? Of course, that's what we use normally. You see that even that's what I was quoting from. That's what we use normally. Okay? But there's nothing wrong with having as many translations as possible. It's helpful. In fact, since we have come to you, it's the same kind of thing. Link your Bible study to what is dealing with you now. You'll pick up. It's very simple. Do you use a smartphone too? Okay, so do you have Bibles on it? On your phone? Okay, so we'll give you something, maybe today before you go. Okay? Everybody write this down. Things you need for effective Bible study. Things that you need for effective Bible study. I think I've answered everybody's question about not understanding the Bible, Abby. I've answered everybody, Abby. Okay. Because we are supposed to close soon.
Things
that I need for effective Bible study. Number one, a Bible translation I can understand. Number two, a language dictionary. So if you use Yoruba Bible now, then you get a Yoruba dictionary. If you use an English Bible, you need an English dictionary. It's very important. You can't study without consulting the dictionary. Okay? Those of us who are ministers or who are heads of fellowships, I'm going to give you your own. Okay? Because this is not a general meeting, so I won't just say some. Okay? There are some other things that we are supposed to have, those of us who lead people and who preach. Okay? Now, I've said three things, Abi. A Bible translation I can understand. A language dictionary. Number three, a reference Bible. Or a cross-reference Bible, if you want to put it that way. That is a Bible that points to other places in the Bible that say the same thing. A reference Bible. Okay? Number four, other Bible translations. And there are many of them. New Jerusalem Bible, NJB, NLT, NIV, NASB, Amplified, The Voice, Message, The Living Bible, Good News Bible, okay? Other Bible translations. Have we taken that? The final one now, a Bible study notebook, or a personal Bible study notebook. What did I say? The things God is dealing with you on, they are very important. You cannot afford to commit it to memory. You can't. It's expensive. This is my own personal study note. You can see my personal study. Huh? This is my own note. And I have several of them. Several notes. Okay? There are things me I'm learning. There are not things I preach. I have another note for those ones. Okay? Five things that you need. Those are the things that you need if you are just beginning to come into the Bible. If you are a minister of the word, these are the things that you need. Apart from all the things I've said, okay, which you of course equally need, you need to build this upon it. Bible dictionaries. Now, you know what I've said before is English or Yoruba dictionary. Now, Bible dictionaries. So that when you see the word grace means in English language is not what it means in the Bible. Amen? So you need Bible dictionaries that will explain what it means. You need original language Bibles, Hebrew Bibles, Greek Bibles, to be able to understand the original meanings of the words. Of course, you need Bible commentaries, and I can recommend some. Because not every Bible commentary that is okay. How many of people are writing? Okay? PHC, Preacher's Complete Homiletic Commentary. I can tell you that a very good Bible commentary. Matthew Henry commentary is very good. Collect Press textbook series is very good. Biblical Illustrator is also very good. You know, and so on and so forth like that. For Bible dictionaries, the ones that you must have. Okay, before I mention, I don't want to forget, you also need topical Bibles as a minister. Topical Bibles. Like what I was just telling her about now. You need topical Bibles. You need outline Bibles. When you are preparing for a sermon, several times, you've forgotten where you first somewhere. Do you understand? But you've forgotten the passage. And you can describe what happened there, but you don't know where it is. An outline Bible just outlines somewhere. There to there, this is there, and you're able to pinpoint what you're looking for. Okay, so you need outline Bibles. But if you have a minister's Even a minister's phone Bible, all of those things are there. Okay? For instance, like my Bible. I don't know. You have my Bible, sir? All of those things are already in my Bible. Okay? Yeah, so for comment, for Bible dictionaries, the ones that you can't afford not to have, things like complete Bible, theological, and is it complete Bible, theological, encyclopedia, CBTEL, you have to have that. Dictionary of the Apostolic Church, Dictionary of Christ and the Gospels, these are things you must have. If you have access to something like the Word, okay, we can give you some of those dictionaries. If you have access to a computer, do you understand? We can give you some of those dictionaries and Bibles that we just mentioned now for free. Amen. Okay? All right. I think that's where we'll stop for today. Character studies like every man in the Bible, every woman in the Bible, women of the New Testament, women of the Old Testament, men of the Old Testament, you know, those things, you need them. You need books on all Bible names, okay? What are names of people, plants, or animal, or places? You need those things. But if you have the Word, or if you have the Word, you already have all of those things that I'm talking about, okay? Or if you have the Word, you can have access to those things I'm talking about. But whoever has my library that I use, you already have those things. Okay? All right. This is where we'll stop for today.
Having listened to the undiluted Word of God, we implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about transformation. For further inquiries, or counsel, or for more information on our discipleship labors, please contact us on
080-334-8-0058, 080-813-8536, 080-7455-8177, 081-4099-1321,
or visit our blogspot at www.reformationplatform.com. When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life